Whoa, dream child of mine. Beep, 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 beep. Whoa, dream child of mine.
Still better than Guns N' Roses. Welcome to the Bitter End podcast with me, Tom Denny.
And me, Todd Jordan.
And we're back for some more big, dreamy Freddy action with Nightmare on Elm Street Part 5.
The Dream Child.
Mm.
Now, this is already getting quite interesting for me because we didn't love Part 4, The Dream Master. We thought it was fine, right?
It was fine.
I'm very surprised this franchise hasn't gotten bad yet.
Yeah, it hasn't crashed and burned. It's had some bumps. I think 2 was a bump.
It was fine. It was just a bit of a misstep, pal. It's a lumpy, bumpy world out there.
And also so is 4. So do you think we're going on an odd-numbered thing?
Right, so only the odd-numbered Nightmare on Elm Streets are bangers, and the even-numbered ones are clangers.
Possible, although... So today Todd was sending me, like, pictures of various posters for this film. All of these posters look highly questionable.
Yes, so the first one I found is the poster that I talked about briefly at the end of our last episode of the podcast, so thank you for coming back. That's the one where Freddy's leaning over a pram and going, shh. It doesn't look amazing.
Yeah.
The bigger issue was the second poster that I found. Tom, would you care to describe it?
So it's got Freddy Krueger on it, sort of center stage, but he appears to be heavily pregnant and is caressing his pregnant belly through the classic stripy jumper with his clawed hand. And I think the poster says...
It says, congratulations, it's a nightmare.
Yeah. And then it also says, Freddy delivers.
Yeah, and then the date. It remains to be seen whether or not Freddy delivers and whether or not this film is indeed going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
If it is, I will not be offering the filmmakers any congratulations.
Is this going to be like a more horrific version of the film Junior, where where Arnold Schwarzenegger's like, a man gives birth to a baby, how absurd. But in this we have a man gives birth to a baby but kills people through convoluted means of invading their dreams.
It remains to be seen.
We watched the trailer
and
didn't really reveal much more than the posters did.
It's a pram and a nursery rhyme.
Fucking spooky pram, innit, mate?
Yeah, spooky pram, nursery rhyme, bit of a baby crying, and then a claw comes out the pram, but it cuts before we get to see anything.
And then you hear a voice go, Freddy delivers!
They love that pun.
Yeah.
It's not a great pun.
I prefer congratulations, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
I think that's got a bit more... Because Freddy delivers... It's promising a lot. It's like, so you're going to do a really strong film? You're going to deliver the post? A pizza? Could be anything.
Yeah, what's he going to deliver? Just some good news.
Just some good news. He pops up and goes, it's okay, everybody. Freddy versus Jason's definitely going to happen. 10 years passed, and he's like, we spoke too soon.
So do you know what year this film is?
Did I read it off the thing correctly that it's 89?
It's 89, 1 year after the Dream Master. They've been boshing her out.
I've got to say, like, it's quite weird now looking at a franchise that has such a quick level of turnaround.
Mm.
Because obviously you get a big franchise, but like you can have like 3 or 4 years sometimes between the big movies, unless you're dealing with stuff like Marvel films have, you know, like big things like that, where they've got loads of stuff queued up one after the other, and they're just banking on the domino effect of them all work. I can't imagine that with these films that they were like, right, okay, we're going to greenlight 3, 4, and 5. We'll do them back to back every year. That would have been insanity in the 80s. I don't, you know, they must just be kind of like, yeah, it's testing well.
They must have been doing well, though. And Friday the 13th was very kind of movie a year for a really long time.
Yeah. Well, I guess also at the time, like, these films were a lot cheaper to make than these big kind of, I don't know what, like, the difference in money was then to now.
But... Are you saying you think that Nightmare on Elm Street movies are cheaper to make than Friday the 13th?
No.
Where you just need like a fucking football player with a honky mask and a machete.
No, but compared to like big franchises now, where you've got loads of like digital effects and all this blah, blah, blah. Whereas like with this, all you need is Bobby UK to come back.
Yeah, but and he then, must and have been you, asking for more and more money.
And you got a movie. And like with the Friday the 13th films, you just need some big bloke. If Kane Hodder shows up, that's cool, but you can get some other big bloke. You're doing practical effect. You don't have to spend like months and months and months and months and months doing digital effects. You just kind of go out for a weekend and stab some people.
Jolly about, I suppose.
That's what making films is, isn't it?
That's what's making these films. Mm-hmm. Would you like to take a guess at the IMDb score for A Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child?
Not a lot to go on other than those posters, and they have me concerned. I was a bit concerned about the Freddy sunglasses last time, and I think I guessed a 4.5. I'm sticking to a 4.5. I think that we're due a tumble.
Stick to your guns, son. Okay, well, just to recap, The Dream Master was a 5.7, so much better than your guessed 4.5. Mm. This one, still better.
Oh!
5.1.
Okay.
This is like, we're in the shallows. We're a long way from the deep end.
When does this series really go that wrong? Or maybe it doesn't.
Maybe there are no bad movies in this franchise.
Maybe our perception of bad movies has been warped.
Oh no.
Oh dear.
Oh no. The damage is inside me.
Quick, someone give me 50 cc's of Citizen Kane stats.
Or at the very least, a bit of Calpol.
Yeah.
All right.
Should we go and find out if Freddy does deliver?
I challenge him to do exactly that.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh my God.
Dude.
People, that movie was intense.
Ooh, mess. Oh.
I don't want to.
I'm hot under the collar.
I don't want to say best of the franchise so far.
Because we don't know, but.
But. I'm just fucking around. It was not that good, actually, guys. It was all right. But the main thing that's got me so hot under the collar is right at the end credits. Spoiler alert, Freddy is defeated. Everything's going to be all right. Credits roll. What do we hear over the end credits, Tom?
Oh, hit me. Get him. Want me to get him? Well, I got him. My mouth is an Uzi. And I shot him with 100 rhymes. With a design to make him rewind. This time I draw the line. He's mine. Just chill. Don't nobody touch him. Cause I'ma get ill. The boy's only have a $3 bill. And this time I shoot to kill. Just like a sucker you took. Now you like it. I mean, it goes on. It just goes on. It goes on for a long, long ass time. Nothing says you've just finished watching Nightmare on Elm Street 5 like having Vincent Price's laugh from the end of from Thriller sampled, and then the rapper Kool Moe Dee drop a lot of verses which have nothing to do with the film. I know, like, you know, having like a hip-hop end credit song was kind of the thing. But
it was very 1989.
It was very 1989, but at least they, like, kind of were like, here, Mr. Modi, here is some money. Here's basically what the film is about. Can you write a rap about that? You know, that's...
He was like, no. No, I won't. Yeah. You can have a rap.
Yeah, I took your money. But...
I mean, hats off to Mr. Modi.
It really undermines the entirety of the film, I think, that one song in the end credits.
We listened to the whole thing. That's the first one of these that we sat through the entire end credits of.
Because we were just taking it in, just waiting for it to have relevance.
Never did.
Didn't.
And that was where the real suspense and tension of the movie came from.
Ooh, Nelly. It was no Dream Warriors by Dokken, that end credits song.
Although I would
say it's not even Turtle Power by Partners in Crime. It's
this one will stick in my mind though.
Yeah.
It, that said, the film itself is not all bad. It's got some moments that are super good.
Yeah, like there's some decent imagery in it. There's a lot of like more like mining into Freddy's backstory, and which was nice. Like the way they came up with the sequel, they were like mining into stuff that had already been established, rather than just going, I don't know, he's just back.
Well, there's even a twist about that that caught me and Tom out. Even me and Tom, who are like going to be super snarky, poking holes in everything. Mm. There was a bit early on where we were like, that doesn't make any sense. That wouldn't happen. And then they pulled a little twist out the bag about halfway through that explained the thing that didn't make sense. And we didn't see it coming, guys.
And then, yeah.
But then the rap came in and...
Yeah.
So look, we need to go back to the start. We need to go back to where it all began. Tom, do you want to lay it on the line for us?
So, I'm just going to say quickly that the movie opens with some very bad font work. A lot of the Dreamchild font is very radical.
It's
and
in like a 1989. Scratchy crayon and like mixed upper and lowercase letters.
And we get a lot of like blue filter kind of sexy shots going on. And at the end of these blue filter sexy shots, it is revealed that it is Alice and Dan, returning characters and actors from the last film.
Yes,
no recasting here. Obviously, Elm Street 4 didn't do so well for them that they got better offers, so they came right on back for 5.
Good for them.
Good for them.
Alice was that quieter girl who inherited Kristen's ability to suck people into her dreams.
It says, fucking A.
Fucking A.
And like, and got, like, gave Freddy a big beatdown. And Dan was the jock with the heart of gold that they kind of, it seems like it was kind of hinted that they were going to get together. They have gotten together now.
Yes, they are boning down.
Bone down.
Bone diggy.
After the blue filter bone down, Alice goes and has a shower. And the shower looks, it seems like it's clogged.
Yeah.
It's clogged, starts to bubbling up. Starts to bubble up all this like manky brown water. And then the shower just starts to really kick in and starts to flood. She can't get out. And at this point you go like, ooh, spooky dream?
Yeah.
Maybe a spooky dream. And then she, like the shower fills up. She's in there like she's going to drown. And then she explodes out of the shower into like a spooky boiler room, spooky chains everywhere, spooky corridor, spooky pram.
Spooky, but the pram is massive. It's like it could hold 3 fully grown men. She follows the spooky pram. She follows the spooky pram down the corridor, and there's a nun there. The nun opens the door and
spooky nun?
Yeah, I mean, now that you mention it, there was a certain element of the spook about her.
Okay, yeah, carry on.
And she opens the spooky door, and she follows it through. And then she's in sort of a horrible dungeony boiler room. And it's the mental hospital from Dream Warriors, but it's back in the day. And it's full of all these horrible old stereotype dudes in disgusting long johns and long beards.
Being crazy.
They're all like milling around going, bleh, bleh, ooh, I'm mad, me.
And then who leers up to the camera and just eyeballs right down the barrel of the lens and gives it a good old gurn?
I'm Bobby UK. It's proper loopy.
He is snooker loopy.
Yeah. So we can all agree that it's a very sensitive portrayal of mental illness at this point.
Mm.
But me and Tom start to realise, well, hang on a minute. This might be the Freddy Krueger origin story, which we had explained to us in Dream Warriors 2 movies ago. And then we get to see it play out. We've got, there's up on the balcony above, there's these 2 sort of hospital orderlies. They're just a couple of wise guys and they're doing a head count at the end of the night.
Yeah, they're like 77, 78.
Yeah, just checking how many dudes. And one of them like wants to go out to the bar or something. He's just like, hurry up, hurry up. And the other one's like, ah, you're distracting me. And he's like, that's 100. You said it's 100. And he was like, did I say it was 100 people? Yeah, you said it was 100. Let's go. And then they just go like, right, bye. And we close the doors and lock. The nun is in there. She was accidentally counted as an extra person. She's like, wait, stop. No, no, no. And then all the patients like all swamp her and all kind of like mob around her. And it's horrible.
It's not like, and then And that's when Alice wakes up. And in the dream, Alice is the nun. She kind of like, there's points where she follows the nun and then she finds she is the nun. And what is the name tag on that?
Oh, it's Amanda Kruger.
And so she's Amanda Kruger. And that's an interesting start. It was good. Like, this was actually, we got quite excited about this because like, backstory, relevance to other films, returning cast. It's not like, it's not Friday the 13th where it's just kind of like, what does this film have to do with any of the other films? Absolutely nothing. It's a completely new cast of characters. I like what they're doing here. They are following on from seeds sown by previous films.
Yeah, this beginning was strong.
And then they are graduating from high school.
And she's got like a bunch of mates at high school graduation. And what a surprise, everybody's got their thing.
They've got a thing. So we've got Yvonne. She goes swimming.
Yeah, she's a swimmer. She's quite like upstanding, like morally conscious. We find out later in the film she's like volunteers at the local hospital as a candy striper. She's, you know, very caring. She's like a real good friend.
Yes. We've got Mark, who is kind of a douchey comic book fan. Like he draws, he's like drawing his own comic books and he has a phobia of blood.
Yeah.
Can't stand seeing blood, but he draws all these gory comics. And then we've also got Greta, who is, she's like an aspiring model, but kind of because her mum is pushing her to be. She just doesn't really, she's got a very domineering mum. These films love having a shit mean mum. They love it. And they've all graduated. They're all kind of goofing around and excited about the future and things like that. Dan and Alice are going to go off traveling to Paris.
Alice's dad has quit drinking. He's going to AA.
Dad's back, but he's just dad now.
He's just dad, yeah. But he's all nice and he's like, oh, I watched your graduation, but I was like hiding in the back. I didn't want you to be ashamed of me. And she's like, dad.
Same actor as that played the last drunk dad. It's very early on that you realise, like, oh, okay, it's the returning actors. They're not very good. It seems like they had, like, with this extended screen time, because the last film, half of that, like, they only kind of really come into effect halfway through when the surviving characters in the third film get killed off. In this, you just jump straight in and just go like, oh, I had better memories of them.
Yeah. I mean, my main thing with Alice, which you pointed out to me actually, Tom, was just that she's only got one volume that she can talk at, like, and but she attempts to shout and she just can't do shouting.
Yeah, she's like, no! Kruger!
Kruger!
You bastard! It's just, it's kind of, I want a little bit more commitment.
Yeah, it's a little bit of welly in it.
A little bit more commitment.
Alice has this other dream where she is back at the mental hospital, but this time it's a bit more modern, like it was in Dream. Whereas there's the tower that guy got thrown off when he was having the sort of marionette murder.
Yes, yes.
And then she follows it through and she ends up in the church from the Dream Master, the last movie.
Because she's just watched Freddy Krueger be born.
Yes.
And... ooh.
Yes.
It's not pretty because...
In the hospital, she sees Amanda Kruger sort of giving birth to little baby Freddy. And little baby Freddy is this latex rubber
puppet.
Gross little rat puppet thing.
So it's like something out of The Storyteller, like the Jim Henson series, like the creepiest thing from that. Maybe turned up a little bit more. Ooh, it's nasty. And the baby Freddy kind of like plops out on the floor and then scurries off. And yeah, he scurries into the church from the end of the last movie. And then we're like, oh, okay. So now the end of the last film kind of maybe makes a bit more sense. Like you get a sense of like where that place actually was meant to be.
Yeah.
And he crawls back to where Freddy was defeated at the end of the last movie.
And it's the jumper on the ground.
And
The baby crawls inside the jumper, swaddles up, and then starts to grow when he's inside the jumper. And he grows until he's full Freddy Krueger size. And then it's Bobby UK. And then he says, it's a boy.
Wah, wah, wah. But I mean, this was, apart from like, you know, that little ding on the quipometer, this was a pretty, another like good dream scene. And then Amanda Kruger pops up.
Yeah.
And she's like saying, damn you, you're the spawn of the devil. And she tries to tell Alice something, like a way to, like, what'd she say? Something about, like, oh, you brought me back so that you could be reborn.
She says it to Freddy.
Yes.
She says, Freddy, you brought me back to give you life, and now I must take yours. But before she can tell Alice how to take his life, she gets banished.
Yeah, and then Freddy's like, you'll never find her. And then Alice wakes up again. Well, she wakes up again, but she shows up for work. Like, she was meant to have been heading to work when she had this dream. And, like, her mate at work is like, you're a dick, mate. You showed up, like, 4 hours late. And she's like, what? But I didn't fall asleep. And then she kind of explains it to Dan. She was like, kind of like, oh, I think I had an awake dream. Freddy just must have dreamt himself up. At which point me and Todd go, no. He can't be having an awake dream, and you can't just explain that Freddy is back by just saying he just dreamt himself up. So we got a bit concerned about the flimsiness of this setup when we've had some really cool imagery, but like it didn't quite sit quite well.
But worry not, guys.
Worry not.
Because it's coming. There's a twist coming that explains it away.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then she's hanging out back at the diner. Meanwhile, boyfriend Dan the jock is he's driving. He's driving at night. He's coming to come meet her.
Yeah, he's coming from like a graduation party.
Yeah, and there's this awesome MIDI slap bass playing that's like, and on the radio that he's listening to, his mum's voice starts to come on and is like, my son is such a dickhead. He's like wasting his time with this girl. I hate him so much. And he's like, mom, this is crazy. What are you doing on the radio? That's crazy. And then suddenly Freddy Krueger is next to him in the car. Oh no, that's not
you
what
don't want that.
That's not what you want, is it? And Freddy Krueger is like splashing this champagne bottle that Dan had, like splashing the champagne around the car, but it's like acid and it's burning things. And then Freddy pulls his own arm off and then he sticks the shoulder bit of his arm onto the wall of the car. And we're like, where's he going with this? And then he turns his arm into a seatbelt for himself by like pulling it back down off the wall and using the claws to stick into the chair. That's
yeah, and then
odd.
And then crashes the car. Dan goes flying out of the car, like all of his clothes. He looks like he's been living on a desert island, like for about 10 years. Like he's like wearing rags, and then he's like kind of like, oh shit! And he runs and steals a motorbike, and then starts careering down the highway. And then what happens? The motorbike turns into Freddy Krueger as well.
It's got like a robot face, Freddy Krueger, and he goes, fuel injection.
Oh, this is
nasty.
And
then all of these like pipes and tubes start to come out of the motorbike into Dan's arms and face and legs and start to pump him full of oil. And his hair falls out and bits of his skin come off. And he ends up looking like the baddie from Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, he turns into kind of like a bike cyborg.
Yeah, he's just like strapped on this bike. He can't get off. His head's all weird and like a skull. And the bike is talking to him and, like, quipping left, right and centre.
Yeah, and then he crashes head, like, straight into a truck outside of Alice's diner. And she comes out and finds that Dan's been, he's been murdered, innit?
He's been nobbled.
By Freddy.
Yeah, and then she passes out.
Gets taken to the hospital.
Yeah, but they've got some other, when she wakes up.
Important
news, Dan's dead. And I don't know why we suddenly know this is the doctor's, but why we checked, but we did. You are pregnant.
Yeah, I don't know if they check this with people when you get...
Maybe before... I mean, I'm not medically trained. Maybe before you can give someone certain medication, you might need to check if they're pregnant first. It feels like it would take a long time to check.
Well, no, you can do like those like pregnancy... Yeah,
but she's been pregnant for like a day.
Yeah.
Like literally a day?
Yes. All of it. Well, but it's no ordinary baby.
As we will soon find.
So, whoa, guys, just hold on here. Alice is pregnant.
that's where the dream child is coming in. Because for a minute, I thought that that latex baby at the start was going to be all of the dream child we were going to get.
Mm.
That was going to be how Freddy came back. He just like, we have this vision of him being born and then crawling back into the jumper. And then it's just like straight up Freddy Bantz from then on.
Yeah.
But no, this baby is a big part of it.
And it's like what you were saying, like the end of the last episode about it being a bit Ghostbusters too, that you kind of like, okay, so Freddy is like, I guess, responsible perhaps. I mean, Alice was boning down with Dan, but you feel that like Freddy has designs on this baby.
Mm.
Let's see. And so it's kind of like, okay, getting interesting. We've had some like this very weird elongated Dan being murdered by bikes and cars scenes. Now she's pregnant. What's going to happen? We're going to find out how much of a dick Greta's mum is.
Oh my God. This scene, I kind of liked it in a way. So we cut to Greta, who is the girl who had sort of intentions of becoming a model, and this very pushy mum. Her mum's having a dinner party, and it's very prim and proper, very kind of like 80s flashy.
Mm.
All show, they've got like waiters there passing people around, loads of people, and they're like, oh, Greta, do cheer up. You're bringing everybody down. You know, put on a good face for our guests. And she's like, my friend's boyfriend just died, mother. And they're like, oh, not your actual partner. No, you know, just some friend. You're
not that important.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh, bitch.
Ooh, bitch. And then, like, just like that, one of the waiters is Bobby UK.
Yeah, apparently... Again, this is the thing, like, did she fall asleep at the dinner table?
Well, you see, the thing is, Tom...
We'll get...
Yeah, I mean, there's a spoiler coming, but in general, we know that Alice has the power to pull people into dreams,
yeah,
which she got given by Kristen in the last film. So this doesn't make sense if no one's asleep. It's not that Greta would have to be asleep necessarily.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. Dreams. Tricky
dream business.
So anyway, Bobby UK shows up and he's a waiter and he puts Greta in kind of like a big spooky high chair.
Yeah, it's like a adult-sized baby chair. Yeah. It gets a bit weird.
And then starts to feed her loads and loads and loads of food.
It's the weirdest looking food, like on purpose. It's like, it kind of looks...
looking, kind
of... Yeah, it looks like it's made out of pieces of plastic. There's like orangey kind of like lots of odd little balls and bits of it look like kind of organs and stuff.
Yes, and he's quipping and gurning like a motherfucker. He's having a right old time.
Yeah.
And she's getting stuffed full of food and ending up looking a bit like Mr. Creosote from that Monty Python film. Like, she's got the big kind of like, big cheeks.
And then he starts like pulling the food back out of her stomach and feeding it to her again.
Yes.
That's when it gets really grim.
And then we cut to Alice looking in the fridge, like about to make some dinner. And suddenly all the food in the fridge suddenly goes like stop motion animation rots away.
That bit's really shit.
And then suddenly... like Greta like jumps out of the fridge and goes like, help me, and then Freddy jumps out of the fridge after her, pulls her in, and then there's a note on the fridge door.
It says like bon appetit bitch or something like that.
Yeah, this is the point in the film, this film, I've noticed that like basically Freddy just kind of like says everything followed by the word bitch.
Yay.
He's got some serious rage issues against women.
He does.
There's something about it that makes me a little bit uncomfortable that he cannot... I mean, obviously he's a psychopathic murderer, but it's just like that every single sentence in the script that he has just kind of just, you know...
It's bitch. Just,
yeah, school's out, bitch. Blah, bitch. And it's just kind of like just, who hurt you, Freddy?
Maybe in the new one... maybe if they make a new Nightmare on Elm Street, they could get that guy from Breaking Bad that played Jesse... who was all like, hey, bitch, this is my private domicile, bitch. And, you know, the dialogue would suit him quite naturally.
Well, time will only tell. Anywhom, Freddy pulls her into the fridge, feeds her to death, and then we see her at the dinner party, Greta at the dinner party, kind of like, just like normal, like cutting back to reality where she's just kind of going, looking like she's like choking on all of her food. And then she goes... Blah,
deed,
dead on the table. And then Greta's mum's like, well, this is most irregular. And their monocle pops out and
someone faints and they have to get smelling salts out. It's a bit like, it was that kind of party. So that's two friends dead in a day. No, and like space of like 2 days. Mm-hmm. And Alice is trying to warn her remaining mates, you know, trying to convince people that Freddy is a thing.
Yes, which largely involves her going to see her buddy Mark, the comic book geek, who kind of believes her, but not fully until he falls asleep at his drawing table and gets sucked inside a drawing of Freddy's spooky house. And Alice sort of stumbles across this drawing and it all goes really like Aha's Take On Me video, where it's like animated drawings based on the real people.
Yeah, kind of. They've like rotoscoped over him. And this made me very excited that there was going to be this big animated like rotoscopes horror sequence. It didn't happen.
Sadly not.
It was a missed opportunity. That would have been awesome. Yeah, like Alice then draws a really shit kind of stick figure on the picture and writes Alice above it so that then she can enter the drawing as well.
It's a very clever move. Very clever.
Very clever. I'm surprised. She was probably going to fuck me. I didn't think that was going to work.
And when she's in there, she sees this spooky little boy that she'd previously seen in the hospital as well.
Yes.
His name is Jacob. And she says, oh, I always loved that name. Always liked the name Jacob. That's a good name you got there.
Mm.
What are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm waiting for my mum. And she says like, oh, well, are you sure this is a good place to wait? Like, maybe I should take you somewhere else. And he's like, no way, fuck off. You don't care about me at all. Transpires, the little boy is the future version of her unborn child. And he's like, I don't trust you. I shouldn't trust you. And she's like, who told you not to trust me? And she goes, the little boy goes, my friend with the funny hand.
That's how you would definitely describe Freddy Krueger.
I'll be okay.
My hand is proper wacky.
So then, just right, we're getting this weird extra element in where she's developing this relationship with her unborn child.
Who's in like dreams.
In dreams. He's like represented in the future. And so she's named him now. He's Jacob. And she kind of feels like she has to protect him. And he's kind of talking back to her. But the problem is that he's kind of being swayed with his affections towards Freddy Krueger. And she's starting to worry that he's going to
turn into another Freddy.
Yes.
Yes. So she gets Mark and they get out of the dream. And then she goes with her mate Yvonne to go and see
a doctor.
A doctor gives the baby a scan. She's saying, do babies dream? And he's saying, like, yes, they do.
An unborn baby can spend up to 70% of its day dreaming.
So this is now why these dreams while they're awake are happening, because her unborn baby is dreaming and either has the same pulling people into dreams power as her or is using it because he is inside of her. And this is why Freddy is able to kind of manipulate everything and use like that power of pulling people. It's a bit convoluted, but you get what I'm driving
at.
Yeah,
it's good enough, right? It's good enough.
It's it's a reason why like Freddy can just seemingly appear out of nowhere, because there is this like sleeping baby inside Alice.
Yeah.
It's an interesting twist. And I think that, because you were telling me that this film was basically greenlit off of a poster.
That awful poster we were describing, apparently that came before the script or anything.
Mm.
They had a title and a poster.
And I think they've done a surprisingly decent job in kind of like coming up with something off the basis of a poster that like does something interesting with like the lore they've already established, and also kind of like making use of things that have already been established in previous films.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like, so that's pretty good, isn't it? And then we've got some scenes where the gang, we've got Alice, Yvonne and Mark, are trying to kind of make a plan of what they're going to do about Freddy. Mark decides he's going to do loads of research on Freddy and just get files and files of stuff on him. I don't know where the fuck he got all that from.
Now, certainly wasn't the internet.
So there was a bit, yeah, where they're all talking in Alice's bedroom. And there was one thing in this scene that really stuck out to me, and it really bothered me.
I could tell.
It was her, like, classic teenage bedroom, you know, posters up all wonky, books everywhere, the usual teenage mess. But then what is that? Center frame in the background, it is a pot plant. But the pot plant is being held in a pair of upright blue jeans. Like, you know, like if they've taken like the bottom half of a mannequin and dressed it in some baggy jeans and then used that as a pot plant. And I was really expecting that that was sowing the seed for this bizarre, like, humanoid pot plant Freddy Krueger monster that was going to try and, like, eat Alice's face off. But no, it's just whoever was doing the set dressing on this film was fucking high. I'm sorry, it didn't warrant me talking about it that much, but it bothered me.
No, I mean,
it was weird.
This is the kind of the omen or the portent of where the film starts to slightly fall apart, actually, is the arrival
of the plant pot genes.
The demon plant pot genes.
Yes, you're right. It does signal like a downward turn in the film. We then get a scene where Dan's parents show up and they're talking about how they want to, because their son's dead, they want to adopt the baby. They don't think that Alice can look after the baby. It's kind of like the most kind of real and emotional scene in the film. Goes nowhere. Nothing, never heard of again.
Because the demon lord plant pot genes was just like, I will not allow this.
Will not be having any of that.
And then pretty much after that, it all kind of starts to go a bit nuclear. So we find out that Freddy's mum, the nun, hung herself after Freddy's murder trial, but the body was never discovered. This is something that Mark, the comic book geek, finds in his Freddy file.
Mm.
Around this time...
Well, is it that they're saying that she committed suicide, or did Freddy kill her?
Well, no, because he was in prison.
No, he didn't go to prison.
Oh, because he got let out. Yes, you're right.
So he killed his mum.
Oh, Freddy, you don't do
and
that.
And hid the body. So her soul is not at rest. This is why they keep on seeing the mum's ghost.
Right.
Get it? Yes. And then, like, Alice is still going like, oh, I'm going to go in my dream and I'm going to go and fight Freddy. You know, the usual spiel.
The usual.
We get... Basically, we get Yvonne and Mark both have their spooky dreams.
Yeah, which kind of happen at the same time. We kind of cut between them.
Yeah, so Yvonne's one is better. She has a sleep in the pool.
Yeah, she falls asleep in the pool, which is totally not safe
in a jacuzzi,
anyway.
Which is just like, do not do that.
No.
But she gets attacked by like a demon diving board.
Yeah, it's like the end of the diving board. Like, as she's walking along it, it kind of curls back like Freddy gloves, like Freddy fingers.
Mm.
So she runs from that, but then the end she came from does the same thing, and then she's trapped. And then she's just falling through black space, like, infinitely.
Yeah. But Alice saves her. Mark's dream, though, this is, like, the ground zero of this film.
This will not stand.
It was heralded by the arrival of plant pot blue jeans. But that was like the dropping of the bomb, and this is the point where the bomb impacts and devastates.
Hit me, Tommy.
There's a lot that happens in this, isn't there? So Mark is reading his comic books, which are spread like all over his house. That's how you read comic books. You read them and you leave them where they fall. And he finds a comic book that he doesn't... What's it called? It's kind of like Nightmares in Horror.
No, it's even worse than that. It says Nightmares from Hell!
Nightmares from Hell!
Nightmares from Hell!
And he starts reading this comic, and it's a comic of everything that's happened. Oh my God. And then he keeps on turning the pages until it gets to him and blank page, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. And then he gets pulled into the comic again.
Gets
pulled into the comic, and I'm like, yes, maybe now we're going to get the aha bit. We don't. They've just, like, he's in the kind of like the big warehouse that he hangs out in, but they've just filmed everything in black and white, or they've just like painted everything grayscale, and it's kind of like, oh, that's a bit disappointing. Freddy starts chasing him on a skateboard. mugging and gurning for everything Bobby UK is worth. He is he is proper radical. And he's going to try and kill Mark. And then Mark spins round. He's like, I'm not having this. And he turns round and he's turned into the comic book character that he keeps on drawing.
Who I believe is called the Midnight Prowler. Who does not sound like a goodie.
No, he doesn't. And he's not a very good... He's a very generic comic book character. He basically looks like the character Iron Fist, but with guns. But like, oh, it looks very silly when Mark's dressed like that. So he's got this mask on and he's got these two handguns on kind of like long, kind of like robot arms. And like, he's got like a weird kind of like eye visor, like, and starts shooting. Like, he's like, take this, you limp dick. Bang, 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 bang. Starts shooting Freddy. And it looks like Freddy's getting shot and just confetti is coming out of him. Then Freddy gets up and he's suddenly turned into this like really buff version of Freddy with like a cape.
Who's called Super Freddy.
And then he slashes Mark and Mark turns into just a flat piece of paper.
Like a drawing of Mark.
And he just gets cut to pieces.
But it's not scary because it's just some paper being cut with some scissors.
And it's just silly on top of silly. It's like, oh, when he starts skateboarding, you're kind of like, oh, this is going to be like as bad as it gets, right? And then like, oh no, now Mark's a superhero. Oh, now Freddy's a superhero. Oh, now Mark's a piece of paper. Oh, I feel sad inside. So Mark's dead.
So Mark dies, which leaves just Yvonne, who has been saved. Yvonne or Yvette?
Yvonne.
Just leaves Yvonne, who has been saved, and Alice. And Alice has no choice. She goes into her own dream or into her baby's dream.
Who knows at this point?
Someone's dream. And in there, they're back in the corridors of the mental hospital from the start with all of the dudes in long johns, like being horrible.
She sends, they've gone to the mental hospital, haven't they? And she sent Yvonne to go and try and find Amanda Kruger's bone, like remains, because yes. they're like, he's hidden her there. You go do that, Yvonne. I'll go and have a Freddy party.
And ain't no party like a Freddy party. Hey,
ho, cool Moe D.
And they end up with this weird, like, MC Escher style, like all of the gravity's all wrong, the stairs are going up, there's people walking on the ceiling, people walking on the walls.
It's like the end of Labyrinth, and with this kind of like pull between Alice and Freddy for Jacob, Alice's as yet unborn, but kind of like 7-year-old son's affection.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not just like, come to me, like, you know, come to the side of good, like they're worried that Freddy's going to pick up the kid and run with him. They're more worried about who's going to sort of influence him when he grows up. So, you know, because Jacob is kind of, he loves his mum. He wants to be with
his
mum. So it is a battle for soul, but he's also interested in what Freddy has to teach him.
Yes, because there was this very important bit that we nearly missed over where when Alice has a baby scan, she sees her son and sees that Freddy is kind of trying to almost take human form through him, that like the souls of the people that he is killing, he's feeding to Jacob to try and make Jacob evil.
There's a proper quip about that.
Something like that.
A proper quip about that, yeah. Where he goes, how about some soul food?
What? This is definitely like the top on the quipometer so far. Definitely.
I'm glad we visited the quipometer today.
So yeah, there's this like MC Escher. Is it MC Escher?
MC Escher, yeah.
Just now we've heard that Cool Moe D song.
My name's MC Escher and I'm here to say I draw stairs in a crazy way.
Yeah, so we've got that going on. And oh, some fucking weird stuff happens. Like the Jacob says something about like that Freddy won't leave Alice because he's inside her. And then we see Freddy appear, pull himself out of Alice's face.
Yeah, in the end credits, they make a big deal about this. They call it the demerge sequence. They're like, this is the demerge crew. So the demerging of Freddy and Alice. And it's just, It's like that bit in John Carpenter's The Thing where the, like, dog alien splits in, like...
Yeah.
It's like that. It's really, like, latexy and rank.
He splits in half and he's all, like, coming out of her and ripping through her. And then you get Amanda Kruger appears and says to Jacob, "Go on, fuck him up, son." And then suddenly Jacob has like a Freddy Krueger face.
Yeah, he's all like red and burnt.
And he's like, "Oh, I want you to teach me like more fancy stuff." And then Freddy's like, "Oh, okay, cool. This will be a right old laugh." And then Jacob shoots like some giant glob of meat out of his mouth and it goes into Freddy, and then the souls of the people that Freddy killed all appear like great big blobs of snot out of his back and start pulling him away, and it all gets a little bit weird.
So
am I remembering this?
You're remembering
right?
This perfectly. It's just, now, it's just, I've got very
it doesn't make a lot of sense when you recount it.
I've got very complicated feelings about this because this ending is quite weak, right? This ending is quite weak. So it's basically it's a repeat of what we had in the Dream Master, in that the souls that Freddy has eaten basically escape. Pull him apart.
Mm.
So yeah, Jacob like pretends that he wants to learn from his dad, but really his mum's won him over, and he kind of fires this globule of something at Freddy, which makes all the souls come out, and but they're on these long tentacles and they pull Freddy backwards towards his mum, the nun, towards Amanda. And she like grabs a hold of him and is like, "I'm never letting you go, Freddy."
Oh, and he turns back into a little baby.
He turns back into a little baby, and she kind of holds him, and he turns into light and disappears inside her womb. Meanwhile, Jacob also turns into a baby and disappears inside Alice's womb, right? Which this is all a bit like, I'm like, it's kind of, you know, we've already had an ending like this. This is like the weaker version of it. It's a bit abrupt. It's not great. But then what follows is absolutely 100% intense, like as good as the ending of the first film, which is, it's over. It's all over. It's all fine. We've just had that. And then the nun is like at the end of her corridor and is like, "Okay, bye." And then like the Freddy claw bursts out of her womb, like with the full rage of the adult Freddy claw. And she's like, "No." And then she tries to hold it back in, and then another one bursts out. And she's like, "No," and pushes that in. And then more of these claws.
But then she starts flying down a hallway.
Yeah, she's getting sucked backwards into hell. And it's so the implication is that it's just like, she's keeping Freddy away because he's inside her body, but like she's got to constantly, forever, for all eternity, like hold him inside her, and he's trying to get out. And the camera's zooming back down the corridor, and all these metal doors keep slamming shut and then bursting open. And we see little bits of like the struggle between like Freddy and Freddy's mum happening inside her body, like bam, blam, 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 blam. Yeah. It's so, so intense. It's easily like, I think, the second best ending of the series so far.
Oh, okay.
Which is, you know, only really the capper on it, the bit that makes it so poignant for me, I think, is that what immediately happens next.
Get him. Want me to get him? Well, I got him. My mouth is an Uzi, and I shot him with a hundred rhymes of rhythm designed to make him rewind. This time I draw the line. He's mine. Just
hey.
Chill.
Don't touch him, 'cause I'ma get ill. I mean, I'm being serious about how much I like that ending. I just wish it didn't have that song.
It's, yeah, there's, the ending is kind of, there's some cool bits to it, but yeah, it is a bit of a retread, and it's a bit convoluted in that you've got, like, this struggle between Alice and Freddy and Jacob and Amanda Kruger. None of it really makes an awful lot of sense. And then, yeah, and then the film's just kind of done, and Alice has the baby. So we've got her and Yvonne have survived. Will they return for the next one?
I'm betting not. Before we talk about the next one, Tom, movie as a whole, what do you think? What do you think? We're over halfway through the franchise now, right? It's 9 movies. Yeah, we've watched 5 of them.
It's I've been waiting like for like this series to like turn in a real stinker, and I don't think it has yet.
No,
like, I think that they're all like perfectly watchable. They might not be like the best films in the world, but like, and this one was like, there was some really like, it's a very conflicted kind of film. Like, there's some really like actually surprisingly cool stuff where you think, like, seems like they've actually kind of tried. I think that was the thing. I think that's what, when we were watching like Friday the 13th, there's so many bits where it's like, they're just not trying. They're just making the same thing again and again. And in this, there's a lot of new ideas, but it is muddled. And the way that they're using Freddy Krueger is getting goofier. I don't know, because I know like some people think that the series like turns into like a horror comedy series. I still think it's too dark to be like out and out comedy, but there are silly moments and it does kind of undermine what Freddy was in like the first film. You know, he's just, now he's just kind of like, Bobby UK is really gurning away. He's wearing sunglasses and silly outfits and calling everyone a bitch, and it's a little bit, it's a bit,
yeah.
He turns into a fucking GoBot in this one. Not even a Transformer, a GoBot. They were rubbish.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's they're messing where the formula didn't need to be messed with, and I like that they're building up the lore. I like that the way that they are kind of tying every film together, which is done well.
Mm.
But what they, in messing with the lore, that, you know, they're kind of adding all these complications, but every single time they're also slightly changing Freddy's character, and it's like, no, you keep him the same. Mm. And then you build the lore on top of that.
Yeah, he was just so much more in the shadows in the first film.
Yeah.
And I don't really feel like he was in this an awful lot. You know what I mean? Like, there were, like, a bunch of scenes where, like, it's just kind of, the nightmares don't actually have him in. Like, when, like, yeah, half of the diving board thing is, like, the dive is to the diving board. He's not there. And, like, the whole bike scene, like, the bike is got his voice, but
it's not really
him,
is it?
It's not Bobby UK.
Yeah, and then even, like, with Greta, with, like, all the food and stuff, he's the waiter that's feeding her the food, but like, we don't really, the camera doesn't really look at him doing that. It's just looking at her going like, bleh.
Yeah, and like, the bit that makes that bit scary is that all of Greta's, like, her mum and her friends are all looking on and laughing.
Yeah,
like, if it was just Freddy on his own feeding her, that maybe wouldn't be quite as scary. I think, like, I don't know.
No, yeah, exactly. But you're right, it's not a bad movie, man. It's just not necessarily, They've come a long way, and I want them to bring it on home. You know what I want for the next film?
Mm, what is the next one?
The next one, I believe, is called The Final Nightmare, Freddy's Dead.
Okay.
Now, we've had, eagle-eared listeners may remember, long-time listeners, back in season one, when we were watching the Friday the 13th movies, we had Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday, which we watched, featuring the great Rusty Schwimmer, who we got to speak to.
Yeah, also feels, it also features the Freddy Krueger appearance right at the very end.
It does, yes. Go back and listen to that episode for more details on that. That was not the final movie in that franchise. This is not the final movie in this franchise. It's going to be interesting to compare these kind of attempts to kill off these big concept character.
And it's also going to be interesting to see how they're going to make this more final than every other time Freddy has been defeated in all these other films.
Mm.
Because every film could have been the final one.
Yeah. It
you
could
know,
have done.
Like, they could have just, I mean, I know they all have those fake out teasery things at the end, but just how are they, if you're saying it's the final one, you've got to pull out something really big or like satisfying and,
yeah,
you know, to like be like, no, he's definitely not coming back this time.
You know,
what will that be?
But yeah. So I don't know about the death for him, but what I do want to see more of in this movie is, I'd like to see a bit more of like the origin of him, and I don't mean his childhood. I want to see that bit. I basically want to see like teenage to 30s Freddy, like when he's alive, when he's like doing his killing spree before he gets caught.
Mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to be quite interesting. And I wonder if we're going to get any glimpses of that at any point.
If we don't, I think that we probably will in the remake. Maybe just even if it's just like a little bit.
It just feels
I'd imagine,
like, yeah.
I'd imagine that they would put that in like the first 5 minutes, like in the opening credits. So it would just be little flashes of that.
Well, when back when I'd only seen the first one, and there's that scene where Nancy's mum is like, oh, he was this child murderer and a bunch of us parents got together and we went and found him and burned him. I'd assumed that at some point by now in the franchise, we would have seen that like mob scene, like the end,
yes,
of, like the end of Frankenstein. That's, yes, what I'm thinking of, like scythes and pitchforks, you know, flaming torches and chasing the monster out and to the boiler room and burning him. And this is the scene that I want to see. That's the kind of like...
Yeah, that is crazy that we haven't seen that.
I know.
It seems like that would be the... Because is it in... I haven't seen it, but I just get the... I think that... My understanding that in like Child's Play, that when the guy who becomes Chucky dies, he's like mortally wounded and he does some kind of like voodoo,
it's
mumbo
voodoo. Yeah.
And so you'd imagine that that would be kind of like some point where you realize that like Freddy had some sort of dark occult kind of.
Yeah. Well, we know that Freddy had evil in him from the start because of the way, yes, he was conceived.
Yes. But, you know, like maybe something where like he knows he's going to die, but you see,
yeah,
you see it in him that he knows that that's not the end or something.
Exactly. Mm. So that's the bit I want to, okay, see. And I really would have thought we'd get it by now.
I hope you do.
And I just feel like if they're doing Freddy's Dead, it makes maybe sense that the movie will like start at the beginning.
Yeah. I think this is one of those movies. I don't like that. In the way that Jason Goes to Hell is when I remember seeing the poster for. I remember the title of this, like, you know, like going to like the cinema, going to cinema and seeing the posters with like Freddy's Dead, you know, like this being like, ooh, that's a thing. Even though I don't know anything, you know, I've never seen any of these films, but like, ooh, they're doing a thing. So I'm interested to see this one.
Yeah.
Like, see, ooh, what's going to happen? Will we get any more cool Modi?
I hope so.
God, I just can't get over that. It was just poor choice. Anywho, we've talked about Cool Modi quite enough for one evening.
Thank you very much for listening. As always, we are the Cool Modi podcast, brought to you by Bitter End Productions. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can always tweet us at Bitter End Pod or drop us a line on Facebook at Bitter End Pod. We post every new episode up there as well, and sometimes people get involved in the comments. Love hearing from you, so do get in touch. If you have enjoyed the podcast up to now, the number one thing that you can do just to help out me and Tom that won't cost you any money is tell a friend. If you tell a friend about the podcast, maybe they'll listen, then you will be officially one of me and Tom's favourite people ever.
We would be well into that.
We would be proper into that.
Proper into it.
So until next time, when we are back with the final nightmare, Freddy's Dead.
Not the final episode of this season.
My name is Todd Jordan.
My name is Tom Denny.
And thanks to our special guest, Cool Modi.
Take us away, Cool. Make it say, daddy, I don't want none. I had enough of you acting tough. You huff, puff, grab your stuff. You cool, huff, bluff. Talk about a battle, but you don't want to do it. You got yourself into a true bitch. Egomaniac, I'm a brainiac. You came back with a stone cold plan attack. Your rhymes are weak, whack. How can you speak that? You need...